You're listening to the Rubbish Trip Podcast. Two No Waste Nomads talk trash with people in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Hi, I'm Shelley, the creator of In My Kitchen.
Palmerston North local Shelley Wilson is at the forefront of the low waste living movement in New Zealand, which has grown rapidly over the past few years. In 2017, Shelley launched In My Kitchen, an online retail store and inspo hub designed to help her customers and followers make changes to reduce the waste they produce in their daily lives. The retail and educational branches of In My Kitchen draw on Shelley's practicality and creativity and the learnings she has gained from consciously reducing her family of four's waste over the last 3 years. In August 2018, we chatted with Shelley about what motivates her both to reduce her waste and inspire others to do so too. How to manage zero waste living when you're time poor, on a budget, or have small children. The importance of being kind to ourselves while doing what we can to cut waste. And thorny issues like how Shelley balances the tension between wanting to sell products while also promoting a philosophy fundamentally grounded in reducing consumption. We started off by asking Shelley to explain what In My Kitchen is.
So it's a retail space online. Basically, a whole lot of products that will help you eliminate or decrease waste in your home and just in your everyday life. But there's also a really strong educational and support arm that I carry out through the social media pages just to provide information and tips if people are struggling and maybe don't know where to start or have some questions around the practical how-to stuff.
Because you yourself are living a pretty low-waste lifestyle with you and your husband and your two kids.
Yeah, pretty low. I think maybe like anybody, like a lot of people, our waste, you know, it goes through stages. Mm-hmm. I've got a six-year-old son who's about to turn seven and a two-year-old who's about to turn three. Mm-hmm. When the seven-year-old was a baby, we'd put out like two big rubbish bags of rubbish a week. And now we put out one bag about every 6 weeks. So we still create a pretty decent amount of rubbish.
That's quite small, though, for a family of four.
Yeah. A lot of it is, we still use disposable nappies at night time. Mm. So actually most of our rubbish is that, to be honest. Yeah. So once our toddler is out of nappies, I'm pretty excited about what it might look like.
Yeah.
A
huge reduction.
Yeah. It will be huge. It will be really big. We haven't quite even nailed the cloth nappies at nighttime thing, so... Yeah. It's just something that I've made my peace with.
Yeah.
Totally.
So the tips that you provide through In My Kitchen on your social media, that's pretty much the years of experience you've built up from living low waste and sharing those things that you've learned along the way.
Yeah, because there's just such a significant amount of trial and error, eh?
Mm. Yeah.
And, and trying to work out what works for you and your likes and dislikes and your family or living situation and where you live and all those kinds of things. And when I started really actively reducing our waste a couple of years ago, I couldn't really find many people online who had young children for inspiration. Mm. So there was a lot of trial and error because I didn't really know what the hell I was doing. And I'd really like to, I know that there's a lot more information out there now and a lot more support, but I'd like to cut out some of that hard work for people.
And how did you come to the conclusion that you wanted to set up not only a store but, you know, having that educational arm be a core part of what you do? I mean, one thing you said earlier reminded me of this experience that we quite often have is in our talks we suggest all sorts of different things people can do to reduce waste, and one thing is go shop in bulk stores and make things from scratch. But often people might go into a bulk store and they don't just don't know what to do because they haven't really made stuff with Whole Foods before. So is there a bit of actually demystifying that kind of goes into those sides of what you do within My Kitchen?
Yeah, to me, the selling of the products and the giving of information for free, for want of a better description, has always been hand in hand. And when I was sort of creating and thinking about setting up the store, I had some feedback from people that the two things didn't really gel well.
Mm.
They said, well, people don't want to see you, or they don't want to know the information. They just want to get to know the brand. They want to see the store, and they want to know about the products. And it just didn't really resonate with me, because I didn't want to just sell stuff, you know, which obviously has a real purpose and is useful, but the sharing of the information and the how-to was really important. And I considered that people would want to know that the practical nature of how to use the products and how to decrease their waste, and that the two things worked really well alongside each other. And certainly for my own values too, I wanted to share some of the stuff that took me a lot of time and a lot of failed attempts and late nights kind of sewing things that just totally didn't work, or bags that were crappy, or like all those kinds of things.
I think people like to see the human side behind it, especially when you're selling things that are about a lifestyle change. If people are going to buy something like that from you, like, they kind of want to know, well, is this person walking the walk as well, or are they just trying to make money out of me, and is this even something that's possible, and is there people like me that do this, and all that kind of stuff. So to have that whole really personal aspect is really cool.
Yeah, I think so. And even for like a mainstream kind of shopping experience, I'm always really curious about who's behind the work and who's behind the brand and who's answering my messages. I'm always really curious about who I'm buying from and what are they like and what's important to them. And if they made the items, you know, I'm even more curious about kind of who they are and how they got to where they are now as well.
What is it that motivates you to live a low-waste lifestyle and also to encourage and support other people to reduce their waste as well?
For me, it was predominantly my kids. And I know that change is often generational and that they need to see me modelling behaviour to learn from it. So they need to see me doing things to think, oh, that's just normal practice, that's how we do it, that's just how we live our life. So that when they're older, that will just be the status quo for them. And I was just really concerned about how my personal consumption choices were impacting on, it's super corny, but, you know, the world that they were going to inhabit when they were my age. The world is a vastly different place to when I was their age, and that's just one generation. And what on earth are things going to look like when they're 35, you know? So that was the main thing that really started me off. And you're hearing the feedback from them, because I, to get some buy-in, because Elliot was, my seven-year-old was four at that point, I kind of talked through the fact that, I talked through where rubbish goes and what happens if we literally run out of room for the rubbish. Like, there's only a certain amount of planet. You know, where are we going to put the playgrounds? And he was like, oh, yeah. So we kind of had a pretty frank conversation, and obviously I kind of had to exaggerate things slightly for him to get it, but it was all very truthful. And then he kind of got it, and he was like, oh, well, I can't just use that, because where is that rubbish going to go, you know? And so we had a pretty cool conversation about the fact that it doesn't really go anywhere.
What motivates you to encourage and support other people to reduce their waste too?
Mainly, I would just like as many people as possible to make some small changes, because even if you make a couple of small changes, it's actually a big change. You can just make a handful of small changes over a year, and then by doing that, you've actually made a huge change. And if everybody did that, that's a significant chunk of rubbish that we're no longer sending to landfill. So I kind of feel that it's all of our responsibility, really, to help other people. When you know better, you do better. You know? So I think it's all our responsibility, if we have the knowledge and we have the skills, to make some changes, to help others to do it too. Just even in a small way, like having a conversation at the supermarket with somebody, or giving your friend a really thoughtful, purposeful, sustainable gift in place of something that you thought was just going to look pretty or get a laugh for a day. Or, you know, like just plant seeds. Just plant seeds everywhere you go. And so I'm just really interested in helping people to get a bit more knowledge and a bit more confidence. I think a lot of it comes down to confidence. And hopefully to not have to do all the trial and error that I feel like I had to a couple of years ago. Just make it easier. Like, you know, why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah.
¶¶
We've been mentioning the products. We haven't really talked about what they are yet. So yeah, what are some of the products that you sell? What's the story behind those?
So I would love to one day be like a one-stop shop so that people can just come to one place and they know that everything is there. They don't have to pay for 4 different lots of shipping and find 4 different places to shop at and all that kind of stuff. So I have wooden dishwashing brushes where you can remove the head and compost it and replace it with a new one. I've got compostable dishcloths. I've got reusable baby wipes, wet bags that can go into your nappy bag to store reusable cloth nappies and wipes, menstrual cups, bamboo toothbrushes, beeswax wraps, a whole lot of handmade items like reusable cloth bags and cutlery wraps and different on-the-go kind of things that you can have with you all the time. Reusable coffee cups, soap dishes, just lots of your practical household things that you kind of need somewhere along the line. I sell a lot of handmade things that I've sewn myself. So I've sewn since I was in primary school. My mum taught me to sew. And
great life skill.
I know. I honestly keep telling my boys, I'm going to teach you to sew in a couple of years. I made my oldest boy some pyjama pants the other day. And I'm like, yeah, because all of the pyjama pants that you buy, they don't fit tall, slender children very well.
Oh,
and
really?
They're poor quality and they're just really crappy. And it basically got to the point where I had to make them myself. And I said to him, you know, I made these out of a piece of fabric and I'm going to teach you these skills because they'll suit you well in your life.
Definitely.
Yeah, so lots of our products are handmade. And they basically arose from when I was reducing waste and I made a lot of our products as substitutes like handkerchiefs and napkins and unpaper towels and cloth bags for shopping and just everything really. And I kind of realised that a lot of people don't have the skills to sew themselves or may not have the time or may not want to, that I could basically fill that gap in the market for them. So I like sewing. I'm willing to sew. I kind of know what works and what doesn't in my own experience. So I could sew for them if they don't want to do it themselves.
Cool. And so when you do make these products, and we know you've put a lot of attention into making sure even the packaging is really low waste, and how do you source your fabrics and like how that whole zero waste philosophy going even broader, how do you apply that to the products that you make and sell?
Yeah, so it goes right from the word go, really. So when I'm cutting out something that I'm making by hand, I generally plan out first, like if it's a pattern piece, like I'm making cutlery wraps, which is when people can store their cutlery in, roll it up, pop it in their handbag so they've always got reusable items in their handbag. I would map out, given the dimensions of the fabric that I've got, how I can get the most out of the fabric and create the least amount of fabric waste. So I plan things out, cut things really strategically. Any off-cuts I use to make other products with, like storage bags for the reusable straws that I sell, or I've got a bag of smaller scraps that don't quite work with anything, and I'm going to overlock them together and create like a giant kind of tapestry piece and make tote bags out of it.
Cool.
Oh, great.
That's kind of like a that's a work in progress.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got to set aside the time for that. So there's the physical making of it, and then there's also when I package, I use paper and I don't use anything else. I have a stapler that attaches the paper together, so I don't need to use glue or sellotape or staples. Yeah, I use natural twine as well, and all of my packaging that I post with is paper or cardboard, or I reuse boxes that come into the shop. I reuse them to send our products out.
And you have paper tape as well?
Yes, and so the tape that I use to package up the boxes and the parcels is completely compostable, and it's paper and activated by some water. It's pretty magical stuff. So yeah, so everything really, and even when I'm styling products for Instagram and stuff, I only use props that I already had at home, or I source through op shops, or I have bought a couple of things from kind of small crafters like myself, but I don't go into, you know, mainstream shops and buy up large to make my photos look pretty. You know, I'm really conscious about minimising the waste right across the board, really.
Cool.
Awesome.
Cool. one hand, zero waste is also about buying less.
Mm.
But then on the other hand, there are all these things that often people don't have in their lives already that do really help with reducing waste. And so how do you reconcile that when you set up a zero waste store? And also, how do you set up a store in such a way that it's accessible for people beyond just privileged, you know, that people often say, oh, zero waste, it's just for privileged people. Yeah, like, how do you, yeah.
Do you know, it's honestly the biggest tension that I think about it all the time. It's a huge tension to have a store selling zero waste products and living my life primarily through zero waste principles, but also wanting people to buy products from me, you know? it's and I don't know many other business owners that would say to people, don't buy off me unless you need it.
Yeah.
But I often say that. I say to people, you know, reuse what you've already got at home.
Mm.
And if you can make it yourself, that's great. What do you already have that you can use before buying something?
Yes.
But if you need something, I'm here.
Yeah.
But it is. It's a real tension. And I try really hard to stay away from big marketing jargon and concepts. I don't want to buy into consumerist practices to try and sell my products, because that just is the antithesis of zero waste principles to me.
Yeah.
But I still need to advertise what I have and hopefully make it look attractive so that people will think it's a good option.
Yeah.
It's a really fine line. And sometimes I feel like I've got it, and sometimes I feel like that it needs a bit more work, but it's constantly on my radar.
It is difficult, eh? Because I think a lot of people want an easy solution. They don't want to have to necessarily, like, if they are just starting out, say, and trying to reduce their waste, I think a lot of people might want to know that they don't have to change much and they can just replace this thing with that thing and buy this thing and just buy different things, or, you know, replace what they've already got with and virtually do what they've been doing all the time. And that's kind of that's the tension, is like, it's not like you have to completely revolutionize your life, but there are some certain habits that are needed to change as well. And I guess that's where the education arm of In My Kitchen comes in, is to show people, like, yeah, there's a bit of a change that needs to be made, but it doesn't have to be this hugely complex, difficult thing, right? I mean, this is how it's done.
and there is a certain amount or a certain level of product swapping that can be easy. Like when your plastic toothbrush runs out, just buy a bamboo version, not the plastic version.
Yep.
Or the same with the dish brushes and cloths and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
I mean, there's some things that we can't reuse or can't make ourselves, and they can just be very easy swapped. So I guess it's a bit of everything, right? There's some things that are basically essentials.
But through the information arm, I guess you then guide people who might have bought from you, be like, well, with your reusable cloth bag you've just bought from me, now you can go and shop at, say, Binin or whatever. Mm-hmm. And through your Inspo Hub can kind of inspire people to think about alternative ways of living that reduce waste beyond just swapping one product for another.
Totally. And I often share, especially on Instagram, just daily things that I'm doing to give people ideas for reducing waste and things that have nothing to do with the products I sell. And so there's definitely a lot of information about the stuff that I do have in the shop, because I only stock stuff that I really love and know works and can actually say to people, oh, I've tried it, I know it works, and it will do this, or it won't do that, or these are its limitations, that kind of thing. But there's a huge amount that we can do in our own homes and in our own lives that have nothing to do with products that we buy or things that we think we need, because sometimes we don't need them. We can do without them.
Of stuff from scratch, not just sewing things, but you also make a lot of your cleaning products and a lot of basic food stuff as well. Can you talk a little bit about some of the things that you make around the home that are not necessarily things that you would buy? You might buy the ingredients, but
yeah. And that's actually how I got into zero waste, was through making my own cleaning products. So we've been on one income for 10 years now, and so through living on a budget but still wanting to enjoy our lifestyle and not feel like we were really making sacrifices, I just started to think creatively about how I could basically buy less or make more myself. And so then I started with the cleaning products. So I make a whole lot now, except for washing powder, really, because I am yet to find one that really, really adequately deals with having two young children.
Yeah. It's a common thing we've heard from parents.
Yeah, they work to a certain point and they just don't work.
Mm.
So I'll keep trying, but I basically make everything apart from that. Bench spray is super easy to make and so cheap. And toilet cleaner and even liquid soap. You know, you can make from bar soap and so many things are easy and really cheap to make. And basically if you've got vinegar and baking soda in your home, you can do anything really.
And so do you share your recipes on In My Kitchen as well for some of these things?
Yeah, I've got a page on the website with cleaning recipes. Yeah, and links actually to where I've found to be cheapest and best. Especially for Manawatu locals, where they can source them. Yeah, just to kind of share the knowledge and hopefully make it easier.
And it's interesting that you say you got into this through wanting to save money, actually, because there is this perception that low-waste living can be more expensive or it's only for hipsters or whatever. And that hasn't been our experience at all. Personally, we've saved a lot of money living this lifestyle. We've also been able to live in certain ways that weren't affordable to us before. Like, for example, we eat mostly organic food, which we could never afford before, but now we've found we can through the zero waste lifestyle. So has that been your experience also, that you can save money?
Yeah. I said to someone the other day that low waste solutions are often budget friendly solutions.
Yeah.
Mm. So cooking from scratch, like saving so much money.
Yeah.
You know, buying your own food and cooking what you can will just save you so much money. The place that I get my coffee from, a local roastery, Ebony Roasters, because they're amazing, we spend $20 on coffee a fortnight, and that gives us basically a 2-litre jar of ground coffee, beautiful coffee, and that's 3 decent coffees a day for 14 days through our Chemex system, and it's beautiful coffee, and that's like what the price of, I guess, 4 coffees if you were going to go to a cafe. So it sounds like a lot going out and spending $20 on coffee, but you know, it gives us a lot from it. Yeah, I've found that it's gone really organically with needing to save money. And I think a lot of that has been, though, because I've made a lot of our items myself. So I just kind of dedicated the time to making them because I didn't have the choice at that point to go and buy everything, so I had to make what I could. But there is a real perception of the lifestyle costing money, but I guess it's all around consumption choices, and if you want to spend lots of money on it, you can.
Just like anything, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if you don't want to, you don't have to.
It's also interesting what you're saying then about how will you take the time to do it, because that's the other thing that comes up a lot, is either it's too expensive to live zero waste or it's too time consuming. And that links into another thing that's quite special about you, is that you live this low-waste lifestyle with a family with young children. And for many people with young children, the idea of making things from scratch and, you know, buying and shopping in bulk and that kind of stuff feels and sounds very time-consuming.
And having a, you know, a business and on the side as well.
How do you manage that? Do you find that it can be more time consuming, or have you developed shortcuts to make the lifestyle more efficient? And yeah, how do you approach it?
So on the whole, it is more time consuming. Like it will take me longer to make a batch of biscuits than to throw a packet in the trolley. So as far, because my children have very healthy appetites. So yeah, I do have to do a lot of baking because there's only so many sandwiches and nuts and dried fruit and fruit that I can give them. So I do lots of baking. So that does take time. But over the years, I have got it down to a pretty fine art. So I will just chuck a batch of muffins in the oven while dinner is on the stove. Or often if I'm totally short of time, I'll just get up 10 minutes earlier and literally have muffins in the oven at 6:30 in the morning, and they'll be cool enough to chuck in their lunch boxes to go to school. Because it only takes me 5 or 10 minutes to put together some muffins, you know? It's really quick, and it's just really functional kind of baking.
So
I think the hardest thing is just working out your own processes and your own recipes and the things that you find easy and quick. That's the hard thing.
It's that front loading, that time investment, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was our experience too.
Mm.
You have to find the deodorant recipe that works or whatever, and it takes time and you'll be stinky for a while and it's annoying and yeah. But yeah, once you've worked it out, you've worked it out.
Yeah, and multitasking. So I often am doing a few things at once, but it's fine because, like, at the moment I've got some liquid soap sitting on the stove that is just sitting there and needs to be blended and chucked into a jar. And I just grated it the other night while I was doing something else.
Mm-mm.
I don't have the time to set aside a half a day during the week to bake and cook up a storm and make all my cleaning products. And, you know, I'm either parenting or working on the business. Yeah, so I feel like often I am really time poor. Like I think possibly every person out there would say. But just doing little bits here and there, it all really quickly adds up. So just doing, you know, part A of the process and then doing part B later.
Yeah,
it's just getting your own processes, I think, is one of the biggest hurdles, and then you'll be away.
And do you ever find also maybe being comfortable with the compromises that you might have to make at any particular point in time? Like, for example, you were saying you use disposables at night, disposable nappies, sorry. Sometimes it's okay not to do everything.
Yeah, I'm really strong on telling people you don't need to do everything. Like, don't let the fact that maybe you can't do everything stop you from doing something. Just choose one or two things to work on, and that's your focus. And then once you've got them mastered, then move on to something else. And yeah, there are some choices that we've made, like using disposable nappies at night, that people might say, well, you know, how can you think that you're being really low waste and do that? But yeah, there's different things that will work for different people, and particularly it depends on what's going on in your life. Like, if you've got young kids and they are really sick and you're literally getting an hour of sleep a night on the couch because that's just what's going on in your life, then, you know, maybe you don't have the energy and the motivation the next day to cook all your meals from scratch. And just be kind on yourself, you know? Or if your health is really failing, or if you're going through, you know, if there's a big unexpected event or whatever, just be kind to yourself. Just be kind to yourself and do what you can in the moment, you know? And then go back to the normal programming when life is normal again.
Yeah, because, I mean, it can be so daunting, I think, for some people. Like, oh, does this mean I have to give up this and this and then I have to, you know, revolutionise everything? I think that message needs to be out there a bit more, that, yes, you can do all these things to reduce your waste, and there's a lot individuals can do in just everyday choices to reduce waste. But you don't have to, like, if it's going to destroy your life, don't do it. What's the point in destroying your life, you know, and being miserable for it? Hey, I mean, that needs to be said.
Yeah, and I have a section on my website that talks about my journey and the different changes that we made from 2016 to here. And I do talk about the fact that, you know, when my younger son was about 6 months old, that's when I sort of really started decreasing our waste. And he was 6 months old and just definitely not sleeping through the night and had allergy issues and, you know, I was really struggling, and I kind of went from my normal kind of habits of consumption to thinking, I'm going to make 100% of our food from bulk food sourced ingredients. And I went to that point really, really quickly and just crashed and burned because I couldn't do it at that time. He was just too young and there was just too much going on. He was, yeah, really struggling. And so I think that's where a lot of my empathy around the issue comes from. You know, because... I don't know. I couldn't go from 0 to 100 in the matter of a month. At that time.
But you could still make a big difference by making some changes that were manageable.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I still want to always encourage people to make changes. And it can be really easy at different times to think, oh, I just don't have the energy and I'm too tired, or whatever's going on. But there's always stuff that we can do. You know.
I think it's also difficult in the social media age that it's almost like people feel like they have to do everything or nothing, because so many of the messages that are put out there are so curated to be like, we're doing, you know, people focus on the good things that they're doing when they're trying to spread a message about zero waste. So you don't often have zero waste lifestylers posting about their zero waste fails. The people that people might look up to seem to be perfect in doing everything, and it creates a very unreasonable pressure. And so one thing I quite like about a lot of your posts is that you are quite honest about both the things that you're succeeding in and also the things that the too hard baskets or the exceptions that you might make. And I think that makes you quite relatable to a lot of people and also demystifies the whole idea of zero waste, that it's a continuing aspiration, not a definition of perfection that someone might have reached.
Yeah, and I think it's just really important to have that human side of it because, I mean, none of us are perfect. Mm. And different things will crop up from time to time where you think, there's just not enough hours in the day to do X, Y, and Z. You may have to make compromises, and that's just normal, right?
Yeah.
And I do struggle with the glamorization and the perfectness of some social media accounts. And while I want my products in my kitchen to look attractive and look really good and stuff, I don't want that to be at the expense of realness.
Yeah.
And I don't want to portray an image that's perfect when, you know, that's very, very hard to obtain sometimes.
Yes. You know, there are times when you feel like, oh, like you were saying, you maybe not as hardcore zero waste as you might have been in the early days, or you might be kind to yourself and let something slide on the occasion, but actually over the years you've made such strides forward that when you make an exception for yourself, you're still doing a huge amount, but you might not realise how much you're doing because it's become normal.
Yeah, I do sometimes think that when I kind of chastise myself about, oh, you know, you were creating less rubbish a year ago.
Yeah.
I still stop and think, well, you know, you're doing pretty well. No, you are right. It's just when you have a new normal, it just becomes what you do, and things just evolve as your life changes. And it's certainly got a lot easier with the kids just getting a slightly bit older. And again, when they're out of nappies, it'll get easier again. And yeah, it does change with your circumstances.
Yeah. But then you can still be kind to yourself while at the same time reducing waste.
Yeah.
You don't have to be extremo, but you also don't have to be like, give up.
Absolutely. And I think everyone's got to find their own comfortable balance. You know, what they can do that's achievable, the hours that they work or their home environment or their access or their health or whatever, all those kind of variables that come into it, but still kind of challenge themselves to do better and to make the best choice they can.
So for people with young children, we really hate it when the media ask us questions like, what are your top 5 tips? But we're going to do that to you. We've learned nothing from our experiences. But what are some things that you think you would never leave your house without if you're going out with your kids to help you reduce waste, or some things that have been absolute lifesavers in that family waste reduction context?
Food. Lordy McLaudison, don't leave the house without food. Because the one time you leave the house without food, they will have a hangry meltdown and you will have to stop somewhere and buy something. I literally have in my handbag, or in my kid's backpack, like a container of nuts and raisins for absolute emergencies.
Yeah.
But that lives in there. So whenever we leave the house, unless they've literally just eaten and we're heading out for an hour,
yes,
I take a good solid snack.
Yeah.
Because they need to eat. And they will have a hangry meltdown if there's not food around. So taking food. And it saves money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know that it's food they're going to eat as well.
Yeah.
And it reduces waste. So it kind of ticks all the boxes. So definitely taking food.
Yeah.
And of course their drink bottles, because they just kind of are an extra limit at this point. They just go everywhere with us. And my toddler's still in nappies, so I just have a stash of reusable cloth wipes in my backpack, which are in a wet bag, so that if I have to change a nappy and things are mucky, it just all goes back in the wet bag.
Yeah.
And I just deal with it at home. But I also have handkerchiefs in there as well, because they'll have a runny nose or dirty hands, or they'll fall over or something will happen, and you need to deal with that pretty quickly. So cloths, just having lots of cloths. I also have like this old school flat nappies with the red stripe. I don't know if you know, like the...
No, I know. With the ones that you pin.
Yeah, that we probably wore when we were babies.
Yeah.
They're amazing for everything, really. Mopping up spills, if someone's sick in the car, putting out the picnic rug.
Just, I love that.
Yeah. And just being prepared in that way, I guess.
Yeah.
So those are the main ways that we are able to reduce waste.
And for like those one-off occasions that lots of parents sort of freak out about from a waste perspective, birthdays, parties and Christmas, probably particularly throwing a party for a child or buying presents, how do you cope with that from a waste reduction perspective?
So we often do vouchers. Mm-hmm. So I've given my nieces and nephews vouchers, like movie tickets, for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Before I was even into zero waste, I kind of realised that they didn't really need any more toys. They had actually significant amount already, and I didn't know what they were into, and it just seemed like a sensible idea. So now I often ask the grandparents if they'd be willing to give us vouchers for experiences. Rather than tangible items. So we've had vouchers to go to Rainbow's End and Kelly Tarleton's and Inflatable World and all kinds of things. And the bonus is that we get a fun family outing too. So it's a bit of a win-win. I do still buy them toys occasionally. They don't get toys throughout the year, so it's a pretty special thing. And we decided that we didn't want to stop. Like, we still wanted to give them toys.
Yeah.
But we're very, very mindful of what we do buy. So we generally make it really purposeful, and we research it first, and we make sure that it's going to be a sensible purchase. And as far as having parties for the kids, we just stopped. We took the pressure off ourselves to have goodie bags. Which is the area that I think a lot of parents might be struggling with, because at the end of every party, every child is given like a small bag of items, which is usually going to break pretty swiftly. We just cut that out altogether. And yeah, there's just lots of ways that we just naturally decrease waste through the party, like doing a lot of home baking. Or one year I was really short of time, so I asked my local bakery to make some of their delicious biscuits, but to put them in a cardboard box instead of their normal styrofoam tray, which they were only too happy to do. And so I think just taking the pressure off and just not feeling like you need to throw a magazine Pinterest-worthy party, you know?
Yeah.
I often just think kicking it back to 80s kind of old school solves a lot of the issues as far as it goes. Just having a low-key party, planning some games, having some yum food. The kids are always going to have an amazing time. They just don't need matching paper plates with matching straws and themed chairs and I'm just pretty
keep it simple.
Keep it very simple, and they always have a great time.
I've
read a lot of that stuff too, is like, especially for like a party where other kids and maybe parents are coming into that space, might be interesting and stuff they hadn't thought about before. Does that ever happen, or you get kind of weird questions? or
even like outside of party context, any context, day centre or something, daycare, sorry, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think, I guess because a lot of my friends know me and accept me, or maybe choose similar lifestyle choices to myself, it hasn't been weird in a personal setting.
Yeah.
So one of my friends, when it was her son's birthday, you know, I said to her, do you want any help? Can I do anything? She said, oh, can you make some biscuits? So I gladly made all the biscuits for the party so that it took the stress off her, and they were homemade and the kids loved them, and it just made everything easy.
Lovely.
You know, so I think some of that kind of reciprocal helping out can make it naturally low waste anyway.
Yeah.
But I haven't had any weird questions or comments directed at me. I don't. I think people are always pretty curious at kindy, or... because usually it was at kindy with lunchboxes and whatnot, about how we could decrease waste. And
awesome. Well, I'm sure there's lots of people who are listening who would be really keen to learn more about you in My Kitchen. So if they want to find out more about you, if they have not already, what should they do?
So the easiest way is just to go to www.inmykitchen.kiwi. So that's my website.
Mm-hmm.
And there's links to my Facebook and my Instagram account on there.
Mm-hmm.
But actually my Instagram and my Facebook handle are inmykitchen.kiwi. So you can find me there, and I send out a lot of the low waste tips and information and kind of updates for New Zealand communities and stuff on social media pages.
Awesome. Mm. Sounds great. Fab. And you're based in Palmerston North.
I am.
If there are locals who want to buy from you, you also do pick up as well. Is that true?
Yeah, so locals can just select free pickup, so they can just swing by and pick up their orders for free.
Perfect.
Well, awesome.
Thanks very much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me.